Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the Prison Ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Aloha once again. Brother Bulla here with Free Inside, the Prison Ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu, Hawaii. I hope that everyone's having a wonderful week. And tonight, I just wanted to share with you a few things about what the Lord had put upon my heart. You know, we go through life doing so many different things. And you know, what we learn through life is all of us are very different. We're all very unique. No two of us are the same. We're like snowflakes. Everybody is different from their brother and sister. And so what happens is sometimes we look at people a little differently. Before I forget, you're tuning in once again to Free Inside. If you want any more information about our program or any contact information, our website is www.freeinsideministry.org. If you have a Facebook account, we do have a Facebook page, and it would be Free Inside Ministry for your Facebook account. But a lot of times, I don't know how, if you've ever walked around or if you felt someone looking at you kind of funny or if you're in somewhere that you're not familiar with, a lot of times people will look at us and judge us if we don't fit in. Now, I'm talking specifically to our beloved that are incarcerated. Many of our brothers and sisters share with us if they have gotten out of the system and have gotten back into the system. I asked them to share with me what it was like when they are on the outside. Well, it's not always the greatest of times when they come out, especially depending on how long they have been incarcerated. Some of the brothers that I spoke with had been incarcerated for over 15 years, and there was a lot of adjustments that they had to make. A lot of things were different than when they had gone in. Technology pretty much overwhelms them. But it's not only the technology part that overwhelms them. You know, sometimes we like to look at people if they're different from us, and we start to judge them. Maybe they don't walk like us. Maybe they don't talk like us. Maybe they don't dress like us. Or maybe they have a physical handicap. And as children, as brutally honest as children are, they'll make fun of that. But just because someone isn't just like you, we shouldn't sit there and judge them. You know, a lot of times we don't know what their story is. We don't know where they've been. And we don't know exactly what they're going through, what their struggle is. Being in the prison ministry, we come across many brothers and sisters where I have no idea of the challenges that they've come through. I have no idea of what they're going through. I just cannot understand all of the things that they're facing as they sit in front of us at our chapel service or at a praise and worship service in the gym. Or maybe just some counseling on a Wednesday evening at Waiava, or maybe with our Berean brothers at Halawa. Want to give a shout out to all those in Halawa and Waiava, all those at the Federal Detention Center down by the airport, OCCC, the women's facility over in Kaneohe, also Laumaka, and of course Saguaro and Red Rock, Arizona. Just shout out to all of you there. We miss you guys. We love you guys. And we're going to see you soon. I think one of the greatest examples that we have in the word of our Lord in the Bible about judging others would have to come from the book of John. And it would have to come in chapter 8. And it would be where the woman was caught in adultery. Now, I'll be sharing it in two versions. First, the New King James. But then I would like to use the Jesus book. I would like to use the Pigeon Bible. So we get a different flavor of it. So we get a little something, something. So we get something that will complete the full meal in front of us. So for those of you who have your swords that are listening tonight, it's going to be in John in the New Testament, chapter 8 and verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple And all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So they, when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now you see, that's a very interesting story because there's a lot of things going on. But I'm going to share it to you in the West Side version so that everyone can be on the same page, so to speak. So this is John Chapter 8, verse 1. This will be in the Jesus book. But Jesus, he went go Olive Ridge. Next day, he go inside the temple yard real early. Everybody went come over where he stay. Then he go sit down for go teach them. Now, the guys that teach God's rules and the Pharisee guys, they went find one wahine fooling around with one guy that wasn't her husband. So they bring her in front of Jesus and all of the people. They go tell him, Teacher, we find this wahine fooling around with another guy that not even her husband. Now Moses, when go tell us in the rules, whoever fool around behind the other's back, gotta throw big kind stones at him for kill him. But you, what you say? They say that for see what he gonna say, cause they like catch him for boss him. But Jesus, he went bend over and write something with his finger on top of the dirt. So when they stay ask him over and over again, he stand up straight and tell him, If get one of you guys that never do bad kind stuff, he can throw the first stone at her. Then he bend down again and write some more on top of the dirt. When they hear that, they will come shame, because they know they do bad kind stuff too. So they all go away one after the other, the older guys first and then the younger guys. Then get only Jesus and the wahine standing over there. Jesus stand up again and say, Sister, where everybody stay? No more nobody here for say you got a market. She said, No more, mister. Jesus say, You can go now, because I don't say you got a market. Eh, but no go do the bad kind stuff no more. Jesus, he went go talk to them one more time. He go say, I just light a light for the people inside the world. Whoever come by me and be my guy, they're not going to go around inside the dark. They're going to get the light that make them live for real kind. That's the word of our Lord. You see, there's a lot of things going on. You know, Jesus had entered the temple. And it's interesting that when he entered the temple, if you go back to the beginning of the verse, it was early in the morning, and when he went into the temple, all the people came to him. Not just a few, not just some, but it says all the people came to him. And then it says, and he sat down and taught them. Now that image of Jesus sitting down to teach the people around him, it's kind of like, for lack of a better term, it's kind of like, talk story time. You know when we go camping, Usually you want tutu kane, tutu wahine, you know, grandma, grandpa, maybe an uncle, auntie. Small kid time, you go camping. They sit down by the fire and everybody sit down. Now, depending where you're camping, going to tell you what kind of story they're going to tell you, you know. But it's that attention span. It's that level of attentiveness. So when Jesus went into the temple, they knew who he was. They knew he was the teacher. So they sat down because they know that he was going to teach them. But who didn't sit down to be taught? Well, it was the scribe and the Pharisee, the ones who were there to do the work of the temple. But they did not sit down to get taught. They did not honor the teacher like everyone else. They went out to find someone doing wrong, because if you look later down in the verses, they were trying to set Jesus up. His own peeps, his own people from his church were trying to set him up for failure. So they go and they find a woman caught in adultery. And when they bring her in, they bring her right in the middle of where he's teaching. For those of you just tuning in, this is Brother Bula. Welcome, aloha, once again, to Free Inside, the prison ministry of First Assembly of God, Red Hill, Honolulu, Hawaii. Thank you for tuning in. Today we're talking about judging others. We're referencing in John, in the New Testament, John chapter 8, and it's about the woman caught in adultery. So you see, what happened is they bring this woman that they found caught in adultery in the midst, in the middle. In other words, they're trying to make a spectacle. They are bringing this to a level of confrontation. They didn't bring her around the back of the room. They didn't put her on the side of the room. Now, you have to imagine, it said that Jesus was teaching all that came to him, and he was sitting down. So everyone is sitting down. So if you bring someone in the midst of that environment, in that scenario of how this scene is being portrayed, if everyone's sitting down, the person standing up, going to be pretty obvious. Now, if she was caught in the act of adultery, as it says, the very act. Now, they have her standing there. She probably has a veil over her. She's probably crying, probably very sad, very embarrassed. This is all of her neighbors, probably some family members there, probably people that she knows. And she's caught in a sin of adultery. And they're going to use her, the Pharisee and the scribe, are going to use her as an example to try and set up Jesus for failure or to get him in trouble. They set her in the midst. So she's standing in the middle of this area. Imagine a campfire. Everybody's sitting down. Grandpa Tutu is over there talking story. And then we get somebody, they're standing up in the middle. Of course, it is going to be the center of attention. But you know that the Lord works all things for the good. So now, the Pharisee and the scribe, they appeal to Jesus. And they say, now Moses, because Moses represents the Old Testament, in the law, because it was the commandments, said that she should be stoned, because thou shalt not commit adultery. But you see, the next phrase is an accusatory question. But what do you say? Knowing that Moses had the commandments of the Lord, Jesus has to agree with them, right? That's what they're thinking. Then they said this, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But you got to love this. And this is what I love about this. Jesus stoops down. He's in the middle now. The lady who was caught in adultery is standing up. She is the center of attention. Jesus, the King of all kings, our Messiah. Now, he could have done many things, but he stoops down. He humbles himself in front of this woman who has been caught in the act of adultery. He stoops down before him. And it says that he wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Probably one of the first examples of selective hearing. It's kind of like a little chihuahua nipping at your heels, is the Pharisee and the scribe. Rah, 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 rah. They're irritating. They're trying to set Jesus up for failure. You don't think Jesus knows this? So what does Jesus do? He stoops down. And it says that he's writing something on the ground. I look at this in the temple as the ground to be kind of like a light layer of sand. Kind of like how when small kid time we play marbles. You know, you got the bambucha marble in the middle. And you got the piris and the egg edge. You got to go tree spams to the right. And that's how we used to play marbles. So that's the type of floor that's that he's working with. That's the type of covering over the floor. That's the condition of where he's at when he's stooping down. And I'll take some pastoral latitude here because you've got to imagine this. You've got to look at this and get a visual of this. That Jesus is teaching these people in the temple, the Pharisee and the scribe bringing this woman who's caught in adultery. She's probably weeping. She's got the hoodie up. She's got the veil over her face, crying, embarrassed. And these two guys are trying to get Jesus to admit to something so that they could go and tell others about his wrong. Jesus stoops down. He doesn't look down his nose at this lady. He looks at her toes. See, a lot of us have the challenge of looking down at our nose at others instead of just looking at their toes and remembering we're all of the same cut. So he's writing something on the ground. Now, this is where I take a little latitude, if you will, a little latitude, if you please. I think he's writing the word Yahweh and saying, that's my name. I am the great I am. I got this. Don't worry. Don't cry. Don't cry, my daughter. I have this. I am the creator of all living things, the Alpha and Omega. Don't cry. Be still. So they continue to ask him. Now it's getting kind of irritating. See, and now he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Well, pretty much he's calling them out right now. And he's telling them, what? You guys never do nothing wrong. Then why you act like that? So that's when he says, if you get one of you guys that never do bad kind stuff, he can throw the first stone at her. So anybody who is sinless, no problem. Start launching some rocks at her, stone her. But you see, Jesus, he bent over one more time and writes some more on top of the dirt. So once again, he's stooping down. So now when they hear that, they come real shame because they all know that they do bad kind stuff, huh? So they all go away one by one after the other. The old guys first, then the younger guys. They now only get Jesus and the Wahini. Jesus stands up again and says, sister, where everybody stay? No more nobody here for say you got a market, right? And she said, no more, mister. And Jesus said, you can go now because I don't say you got a market. But hey, no go do the bad kind stuff no more. So he tells her, go, but don't sin anymore. You see, when Jesus is stooping down in front of her, he's humbling himself. As he humbled himself all for mankind, he humbled himself on the cross. Because you see, it's his blood that washed our sins. My sins, your sins, our children's sins, our family sins, the sins of the world. He humbled himself on the cross. Right here with the adulterer, she is caught in the act of adultery. To me, one of the sad things is it's the church people that are trying to set Jesus up for failure. But he stooped down. He didn't look down at her. I want to be very clear on this. He stooped down. Instead of looking down his nose, he was looking at her toes. And every time he stood up, it was to answer something that was irritating him. It was getting him upset. Finally, the last time when he stands up, he tells her, where's everybody at? Where everybody stay? Nobody, anybody left. Nobody, anybody here. No more anybody here for say you got a market, right? She looks around and she goes, no, mister. You see, the last time he stands up, he rises with her. She is standing there, but you have to remember he has been stooped down two times over. So he's standing up with her and all the accusers are gone. When she's standing next to the teacher, when she's standing next to Jesus, when she's standing next to the Messiah, she now is standing in his righteousness. Before, when she walked into the temple, escorted, into the midst of those that were being taught by Jesus, she had to stand in her sin. She had to stand in her wrongdoing. And Jesus humbled himself and stooped down to the feet of the sinner, of the woman who was caught in adultery. See, even at that point, Jesus is humbling himself to mankind. He could have done a lot of other things, but he stooped in front of this woman. When it was all said and done, when he stands up, he lifts her out of her sin. He lifts her out of her wrongdoing. He lifts her out of the life that she's been living. He lifts her out of all the times that she's been judged by others. He lifts her out of going down the wrong path. He lifts her out of making the wrong decisions. He lifts her out of where she was and lifts her into his righteousness. You see, that's all Jesus wants to do. He just wants us to obey, just to follow him, just to love him, to honor him through obedience. And he is going to lift you wherever you are right now, wherever you're sitting right now, wherever you're doing right now. He wants to lift you of what you're doing to lift and stand with him in his righteousness. He wants to take you out of whatever you're doing, whatever bad choices you've made. Nothing can ever separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. Nothing can ever make it right except Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus came to the world, he came to the world for you and I. He came to save the world. You see, when he lifts her up, he lifts her out of everything that was wrong and puts her into everything that was right. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our God. And in verse 37 in Romans chapter 8, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, it's through Jesus Christ that we can overcome anything that's in front of us. In the Jesus book, starting at chapter 8, verse 37, because Christ get love and aloha for us, guys, to the max. No matter what kind of trouble get, no bother us, because we the winners for sure. I sure about this. No more nothing can make God stop loving us, guys. No matter if we stay alive or we mock it. No matter if we get angel guys or leader guys in the sky or get spirits with power that go against us. No matter, whatever stay happen now or going to happen in Bombay. No matter, get guys with power up there in the sky or down there inside the ground. No matter. Get all kind, other kind things that God would make. No more nothing that can hammer us from God so he no love us no more. Because us guys stay tight with Jesus Christ, the special guy God went saying, and he our boss. No more nothing that can hammer us from God so he no love us no more. There is nothing, absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God. God loves us. You see, my beloved, we never see the back of our Lord and Savior. How many times has he seen your back? How many times have you turned your back on God when he's been trying to talk to you, to comfort you, to console you, to guide you? How many times have we turned away and tried to do things on our own? Far too many for me to count. I fail my Lord and Savior miserably every day, but every morning I come to the cross for his mercy and his grace. And it's by the blood that was shed on the cross. You see, Jesus washes white. Man whitewashes. Because a half truth is still a whole lie. What are we hiding behind today, my brother and my sister? An addiction? A compulsion? A lie? A lifestyle that's not pleasing to the Lord? What is it that we're holding on to? Let's let go and let God. Let's come to the cross together so that we can lift his name and praise his name even in the storm. We're going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the ears that are listening to the Rhema word right now, Father God. Let us not judge others. Let us just live to glorify you. And Lord, if there's anyone out here that needs a healing touch, touch upon them right now, Father God. Heal them from the top of their head to the bottom of their foot, Father God. Protect their families. Provide for their families in abundance. Lord, we are a new creation in you, and it is through you that we can make it through the challenges, through the trials and the tribulations. Lord, remind us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But let us continue to praise you for what you've done, but worship you for who you are, Father God. For you are the Alpha and the Omega. You have created every living thing. You are the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end, our bright and shining morning star. Heavenly Father, Lord God, bless all of those within earshot. Bless their families and their friends. Bless all of the staff. Bless all those that have tuned in tonight. And Lord, continue to lead them down the path that you've placed before their very feet. Let them be still and know that you are God. Let them cry out to you in times of trouble so that you may comfort them. But most of all, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for another day of life, another day of being on this earth. We just give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In your most heavenly and matchless name, amen. Once again, our website, www.freeinsideministry.org. Our Facebook page, Free Inside Ministry. Remember, Ike akua kaho'onani ya. To God be the glory. May he protect you and provide for you till our next appointed time. God bless you. God love you. Be safe and be blessed. Ahui ho.
You've been listening to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.